Thank you for that fine, fine singing. He sang a lot of personal songs today about the Lord Jesus. Some songs might actually feel a little uncomfortable because they are so personal. And this morning we want to take a look at the Lord Jesus. It's Palm Sunday, and we want to think a little bit about Him on the cross. And I love the Lord. And this morning, as I talk about the Lord, I may get emotional. But I want you not to feel uncomfortable. I'd like you to think about what the Word of God has to say. And I'm going to warn you that I'm going to be giving you an opportunity to give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if, as we study the Word of God this morning, you have a sense that Jesus is real and speaking to you, He wants you to come to Him, and He can make your life into something special. I'd like you to turn, please, in your Bibles to Mark chapter 15. And we are going to just look at one simple phrase. It's found on page 747 in the Chapel Pew Bible. We're going to look at one simple phrase about the Lord Jesus, and it is found in verse 27. And the phrase is that He was numbered with the transgressors. We're going to read a couple of the verses here, starting at verse 22. But that is the phrase at the very end that I want us to think about. He was numbered with the transgressors, or He was put on a list with all of the other sinners. He was included. He was included with them, is what the King James Version here is trying to suggest. Mark chapter 15, and beginning at verse 22. And they bring Jesus unto the place called Golgotha, which is, being interpreted, the place of the skull. And they gave Him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, and He received it not. And when they had crucified Him, they parted His garments, casting lots upon them, what every man should take. And it was the third hour, and they crucified Him. And the superscription of His accusation was written over, "The King of the Jews." And with Him they crucified two thieves, the one on His right hand and the other on His left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, "He was numbered with the transgressors." Now that's our text for this morning. You don't need to turn to it, but the phrase comes up in another portion in the Old Testament, which I'd like to read to you, in Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. You know, when we read our Bibles, we come away with some of our own thoughts about the Bible, and that's an okay thing. But the nice thing about the Bible is that you can turn to other portions of the Bible and find out what the Bible says about the Bible. And that's always better, because sometimes we will, in our minds, twist what the Bible says to make it seem better for us. And you never want to do that with God's Word. Let the Word of God tell you, even if it's hard, the real truth. Then you can do something with it. And here, in Isaiah chapter 53, we have one of these times where the Bible is going to help us understand what it means when it says in Mark that Jesus was numbered with the sinners, or numbered with the transgressors. This is a great chapter, but I just want to start now at verse 10. of Isaiah chapter 53. Verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Jesus, or to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. For he, that's Jesus, shall bear their iniquities or their sins. Therefore God will divide him a portion with the great, because he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because Jesus hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and he made intercession for the transgressors. And we're going to now read one more portion in the New Testament, but here we read something that a lot of people don't think about when they think about the cross. We read about Jesus being made a sin offering, an offering for sin. And we read about the Lord Jesus bearing sin on the cross. And one more portion now in 2 Corinthians and chapter 5. And this will be the last portion that we look at. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And verse 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. And the reading goes like this. For God hath made him, that's Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And I just picked three verses. It's all over the Bible, though. What happened on the cross, there was more to it than just a martyr dying for a cause and an example being set on how we should lay down our lives and love one another. Those are great things. But that's pretty much where most people look at the cross and see the cross. And I just picked three verses. We're going to come back now to Mark 15. I could go all throughout the rest of the scripture to show you that, yes, that's a precious thing about the cross, but something deeper happened at the cross. And God, in these verses, have told us that the Son of God, who knew no sin, was numbered with transgressors, on the list with the transgressors and the sinners. That he became a sin offering on the cross, and he was bearing sin, whatever that means. The Bible wants me to understand it, though. And that verse in 2 Corinthians, the Bible somehow wants me to understand that Jesus, who didn't know any sin, was made sin. What does that mean? I don't know, but the Bible wants me to understand it. He was made sin so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And my prayer this morning is that we might see the cross a little differently than we've seen it before. Today is Palm Sunday, and all throughout the world, people are remembering the events that surround the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. A unique thing about our Christian heritage, and that it has spread so significantly throughout so many cultures. Where there are people today, all over the planet, who are thinking about something that happened 2,000 years ago. Isn't that amazing? What Jesus did that last week that he lived, and what happened on the cross of Calvary. Now, the first thing I want us to remember about this is that God wants us to remember what happened to his Son on the cross. Before the Lord Jesus went to the cross of Calvary, the Lord Jesus told his disciples that something awful was going to happen to him. He predicted exactly what was going to take place. It was a terrible description. He talked about how he was going to be put to death. He did this over and over again with his friends, But the very last night before it was about to happen, while they were hiding in an upper room, they could have escaped. He went through the whole thing again with them. And he told them, we're not going to run away from this. I have to do this. And he said, but I never want you to forget what I'm about to do, what I'm going to do on the cross of Calvary. I don't want you to forget it. Remember me, he said. And that's why in so many of our churches, when we have communion or the breaking of bread or the mass or whatever we call it, and we break bread and we take of the cup, the pastor or the priest, whoever it is, will tell you we're doing this to remember the Lord Jesus. Why does the Lord Jesus want us to remember what happened at the cross like this? Believers and unbelievers remember the Lord this week. The unbeliever, the person who knows a little bit about Jesus but has not made Jesus their personal Lord and Savior, the unbeliever thinks about the work of Jesus on the cross, and they find a wonderful example of someone who would lay down his life for a cause, or an example of someone who is very kind, and they try to be kind, we try to be kind as well, a way to love, they find an example. They also find in what happened to Jesus of Nazareth on the cross, wishful thinking, wishful hope, that just as he did something, someone poor as he was, did something 2,000 years ago that is still remembered today, the unbeliever hopes that will be true of his or her life as well, that perhaps I might do something that people 2,000 years from now will remember. And these are some of the reasons why the planet as a whole will spend some time over the next few days thinking about the Lord Jesus and remembering the Lord Jesus. But the believer goes one step further, because the believer has found the Lord Jesus Christ to be a personal Savior. You know, some of the songs that we sing here, that we even sang today, they can be a little uncomfortable. Have you ever noticed that sometimes? Hey, are talking about turning our eyes on Jesus, looking full in His wonderful face. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. I will never forget. That's a very personal song. That isn't an easy song for everyone to sing. The believer has met a personal Jesus and has found the Lord Jesus Christ to be his or her Savior. And I want to ask you first a question. Is Jesus your Savior? Is he your shepherd? Is he your friend? The Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus wants to be close to you. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, the Lord Jesus himself says, I stand at the door of your heart and I knock. If anyone hears his voice, hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and sup or fellowship with him, and that person will fellowship with me. Everything about the Lord Jesus, when he came down here and he walked amongst us, he was close with individuals. He spent time in people's houses. He's not like our president or our prime ministers or those who are in public office who keep their distance. But he was close. He identified with the poor. He came to people who no one else wanted to be with and said, I will be with you in your house tonight for dinner. He said that to Zacchaeus. He was close because he was sending a message that has resonated throughout this planet these many, many, many years, and it's still embraced today. That Jesus is not just an example of how to love, but he has loved you personally, and he wants to save not the world. He wants to save you. He did not come into this world to condemn you, the Bible says, but he came to seek and to save you which were lost. Have you been saved yet? Have you given your life to Jesus? You know, it's possible to be in a church and to listen to preaching and to go to a Sunday school and to know things about the Bible, but not know the Lord Jesus Christ personally. And just because you can't see him doesn't mean he's any more real or less real. The Lord has decided at this time to keep himself veiled and invisible because he wants people to make a choice, not on his beauty and not on his power. If he displayed himself right now, we'd all flock to him for the wrong reasons. He comes and he tells us about what he did on the cross and how much he loves us. And he says, will you trust me? Will you believe that I love you like this? You come to me now. I'll show you what I look like later on after we get to heaven. You come to me now. Have you come to the Savior? When you invite the Lord Jesus Christ into your life, the Bible says you become a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things become new. He changes you from the inside out. You know, we dress up and we come to church here, and I enjoy that. I appreciate that. There are a lot of Christians who don't dress up when they go to church. But it's not what we wear that's important on the outside. That myth of looking like a Christian on the outside and thinking that that somehow changes you on the inside. Jesus himself, his brother James, shut that down. Jesus wants to change your life on the inside and bring you a brand new life from the inside out. Have you been changed from the inside by the Lord Jesus Christ? Jesus wants us to remember what happened at the cross. And there are a lot of things that we can think about, but this morning, it's just this one phrase that I want us to think about. He was numbered with the transgressors. He was numbered. He was put on a list. The day that he was crucified, when they were walking through the streets, and someone asked, so how many thieves did they put up on the cross today? Oh, the number was, there's three of them up there. There's three thieves up there. Oh, who is he? Who are they? Well, I don't know the other two, but one of them was that guy, Jesus. Yeah, they caught him. He did something wrong. He's on that cross now. He was included on the same list with the murderers and the thieves and the sinners. That's what this verse is saying. He was numbered with the transgressors. That is very striking. Because Jesus never sinned. He never did anything wrong. Jesus was not just a prophet. He wasn't just a great teacher. He wasn't just the founder of a great religious movement. All those things are true, and those are wonderful to think about. But Jesus was God's Son. God wanted to speak to us. And he sent his Son into this world with instructions. When you come down here, I want you to show them by the way you live what I'm like up in heaven. Because I want them to see that I love them and I want them to come. I don't want my heaven empty. I want men and women and boys and girls to come. And so Jesus Christ came down here, and even though he looked like us, he wasn't like us. He never sinned. The Bible says, Paul says, he did no sin. We do sin all the time. I'm an expert. All of us are. We are all sinners, the Bible says, and we've fallen short of the glory of God. Don't let that bother you. I mean, it should bother you, but that message, listen to it, hear it. You got to hear it. You got to hear when you're sick. Before you can get cured. You don't want to go to a doctor that tells you that you're okay, you're all right when you're sick. You need to have a doctor that has the courage to say, you've got high cholesterol. I had to have a doctor tell me that a few weeks ago. I needed to hear that. Now I can do something about it. Now I can try to get healed. You know, that was hard for my doctor to say. My doctor, oh, if I tell him that, he might not like me. He might not come back. There's a lot of people do that with doctors, you know. Their doctors come and they don't like what they hear, so they go to the next guy. They go to the next guy. There's a lot of people who do that with God. Don't be, Jesus is a doctor, the great spiritual doctor, just because he says you're a sinner. Listen, just think about it for a second. He might be right. You might need help. Jesus, though, he never did a sin. The Bible also says, not only did he never do a sin, Jesus never thought a sin. He knew no sin. You see, some of us, we're not doing sin, but in our minds, we're thinking about sin. One of the reasons why we sin is because in our minds, we think about it. Most of the sin that we think about, yes, I know, you don't do. And that's why you think, I'm pretty good. But there's a lot of what we think about in our minds that we do do. And we commit sin. But Jesus' mind was perfect. He never thought about a sin. He never thought about a sin. The Bible says, in him was no sin. And that's why this verse here is so interesting, because if there was anyone who would never be on a list of sinners, you would have thought it would have been Jesus. But he's on the list. They put him on the list. They said he was one of the sinners that needed to be crucified. He was one of the thieves. He tried to steal from us. We're in charge, they thought. We liked the way our life was going. He came in and was going to disrupt it. He was going to take away some of our privilege and some of our responsibility as a little thief. He was going to blow up the temple, they said. Blow it up and then in 3 days bring it back. These are the sins they tried to pin on the Lord Jesus. This is why we had to put him to the cross. He was a terrorist, they said. He's going to overthrow Caesar. But none of that was true. None of that was true. He wasn't interested in their political offices. He didn't want to blow up the temple. So let me ask you a question. Why did those men put him on the list of sinners? Why did they do it? Why did they do it? I think they did it because they knew that if they didn't get rid of Jesus, their lives are going to be completely changed. Their lives are going to be completely changed. And they didn't want their life to change. I've told this story before about my friend Joe at the construction company and how interested he was initially at studying the Bible with me and finding out about Jesus. He went to a big, big, big church in Boston and a very religious person. But he didn't know Jesus Christ as his Savior. He would sing hymns, he would pray, but he really enjoyed his friends. He really enjoyed the movies he went to. He really enjoyed his life. But things were falling apart in his life. And he was looking for some answers and he was reading the Bible with me. We came to the verse in John chapter 1, verse 12. But as many as received Jesus, to them, Jesus gives the right to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And I can still remember Joe at the lunch table looking at me and says, I know what that verse means, Tom. It means Jesus wants to be received. He wants to be a personal Savior. He wants to be in my life. He wants me to open the door of my heart and let him in. I said, that's right, Joe. I was impressed. He saw it on his own. And then he went further. He said, the God of the universe, Jesus, in my life, that means I've got to change. Has to happen. How can you get close to holy heavenly thing like Jesus like that Bring him into your life like that. How can I be doing the things that I'm doing right now? Going to the movies that are dishonoring and sinful, being involved with the behavior that I'm in right now. How can everything would change once Jesus comes into my life like that? I said, that's right, Joe. And Joe thought about it and he said, you know, Tom, I don't want my life to change. I like it just the way it is. And every one of you here in this room, you have wonderful lives. And I know that it's hard to believe that Jesus has something better. But Jesus has something better. And I'm asking you to trust him and give him the rest of your life. And to believe him. Oh, but I have to give up what I have right now. The Bible says the person who holds on to his life like that, you'll end up losing it. But he who loses his life, gives it up for Jesus' sake, that's the kind of person who really finds what life's about. The whole reason why we're down here for the few years that we are is to come and meet the Lord Jesus and to decide whether he is going to be our life, our Savior, our all in all, or whether we're going to keep it all for ourselves. Jesus wants your life. He wants your life. And they didn't want the change. They fought against it. They saw him as a thief, not because he stole anything, but because they knew that when he came into their lives, the life they were holding on to, it would have to go. How about you? Are you willing to come to the Lord Jesus in faith? God says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. He who comes to God must believe that God is, and that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God's life, God's way, has a reward at the end of it. Do you believe it? The difference between an unbeliever and a believer is whether they believe it. It's that simple. When we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and put our faith and trust in him, he saves us. And the reason why there are those who don't have the Lord is because they just don't believe it. They think it's simple, simplistic, or they think it's too good to be true, whatever the reason is, and they like their life the way it was. These men, they put him on that list of sinners because they wanted to get him out. He was numbered with the transgressors. Our last point here was the men and the women of that day put him on the list. But in Isaiah 53, we read that God also put him on the list. Remember what we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21? He, Jesus, who knew no sin, was made sin for us. Who did that? God did it. On the cross of Calvary, God made his Son look like he committed your sin, even though he didn't. He was made sin for us that we might be called the righteousness of God in him. God made him look like he committed your sin because it was the only way that you might be made righteous. Now, I don't understand all that, but God wants me to get it. So let's, in the last 5 minutes here, see if we can love the Lord with our minds a little and try to get it. In Isaiah chapter 53, we read verses like this, phrases like this. The Lord laid on Jesus, on him, the iniquity of us all. And if there's anything I want you to get out of this sermon this morning, I want you to get a sense that what was happening on the cross was more than just a martyr dying. Because he loved his disciples and he loved his God, there was more to it. God laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. And in Isaiah chapter 53, we read, he bore our sins and our iniquities. He actually bare them on the cross of Calvary. Why? Why was he bearing the sins of many on Calvary's cross? I think it's because when God's punishment had to fall for sin, it had to fall in reality. And the only way for God's punishment to fall in all of its reality and all of its fullness on Jesus was only if God, through a miracle that we will never understand, made it look like in that brief moment of time as if Jesus committed every single sin that ever was and ever will be committed on this planet. He was made sin for us. And when in that moment of time all of the sin of the planet brought to that gibbet of shame, that cross of Calvary, it offered God the unique opportunity to judge it all in one stroke. See, before Calvary, sin would be judged after each one of us died. And the judgment could never be complete until the last human being died. And the race was extinct. But because of the cross, all of the sin of the planet laid in one place on the blessed Son of God. And God could judge it fully and completely in an instant in time in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was numbered with the transgressors because it was God's purpose to take his Son and to transform his Son into a sacrifice, a sin offering that would completely put away the sin of every single human being who ever lived and who ever will live on the cross. God numbered his Son as a transgressor. And the Bible tells us why. Because he was thinking of you. That you might be called the righteousness of God in him. What a strange thing. Because you see today, if I asked you, are you on the list of sinners? Are you numbered with the transgressors? Most of us will say, well, I made mistakes in my life, but none of those mistakes are really that significant where I should lose my heaven or lose my eternal life over. I'm not that bad of a sinner. Isn't that interesting? That the Lord willingly put himself on a list to save you, but you don't consider yourself a sinner? One under the judgment of God? The Bible says all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I have a hard thing to say to you this morning. If you're not willing to put yourself on the list, not the list over here that says I've made mistakes. Everybody's on that list. But the list over here, I'm a sinner. Under the judgment of God in desperate need of a Savior on that. If you're not willing to be numbered with the transgressors and the sinners, you can't be saved. Christ Jesus has come into this world to save sinners. And all of us are sinners, but some of us don't want to put ourselves on the list. How about this morning? Would you have the courage to put yourself on that list? I understand. I want to be on that list. I am a sinner under the judgment of God, and I need a Savior. Spiritually in your heart, write your name on the list. Don't be ashamed of it. Jesus did it so that you might be saved. Put your name on the list. Don't be afraid. Number yourself with the sinners, worthy of judgment. And then, once you've settled it in your heart that you're on that list, take a look at the Lord Jesus Christ. What did he do on the cross? He didn't just show you how to love your enemies and how to forgive and what it means to lay down our lives for a cause. Those are wonderful things. But on the cross of Calvary, he took your place. He became your sacrifice. He wants to be your Savior. I know I'm using words out of the 1800s. But they're great words to really help us understand what he was doing for us on the cross of Calvary. He wants to be your Savior, your personal Lord and Savior. So is he? Have you given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Romans 6:23 says that the wages of our sin is death, but... thank you, Matt. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I was very young when I realized that. I used to go to church. I used to go to Sunday school. I was in a Christian home. I wasn't saved. I didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I was very young when I finally realized that what Jesus did was he gave me a spiritual gift, and what I needed to do was receive that gift, privately open it up, and ask the Lord Jesus to come into my life. I had to believe that the gift was real, that Jesus loved me. And in prayer, I gave my life to the Lord Jesus, and he saved me. He saved me, and he became my Savior. Let's bow for a word of prayer, every head bowed and every eye closed. And like I said at the beginning of my sermon, if there's anyone here this morning who has not yet given their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, we're just going to spend a few moments in silence right now. And why don't you quietly, in your own heart, by yourself, just pray and give your life to Jesus and ask him to be your Savior. Lord, we thank you again for this kind audience. We thank you for the kind words of Scripture. We thank you for the kindness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, forgive the preacher for not presenting your loving message adequately. Lord, use the Holy Spirit to take these words and to make them real. We ask, O God, that if there is someone here this morning who has not yet come to Jesus, that today, Lord, they would give their lives to you and find the new life that can only be found in your Son. Thank you, Lord, for reminding us of these things. Thank you for what you did on Calvary's cross. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for coming, and the meeting is dismissed.